everybody. Welcome to Queer at Heart. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Mo Zabian, and today on the show we have Luca Rosenberg-Lee. Thank you so much, Luca, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Pleasure. So for those who don't know who Luca is, Luca is a Toronto-based independent filmmaker, speaker, and entrepreneur. You were adopted from a Dominican Republic family into a Toronto family where you developed this love for film. Mm-hmm. And your passion to tell stories and to move people.
That's right.
And this is kind of a perfect place here because this is what we do here on the show. You worked as a marketing director for an LGBT plus nonprofit organization, speaking to over 20,000 students from British Columbia to Newfoundland about your personal experience as a trans man into today's society and the importance of LGBTQ representation, kindness, and acceptance. And I'll say this.
Please.
You are the epitome of this type of representation, kindness, and acceptance.
That means so much to me. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. You know, I thought of you coming on the show because I thought, who could best represent? By the way, I'm just going to say that I feel like it matters and it doesn't matter. You are the first trans man I've had on the show.
Great. I mean, that's awesome.
You know? So it does matter. And today, you know, we are going to discuss the future of gender relations.
Right.
And when you spoke to me about that about 2 weeks ago, I was curious to know, how do you define that? What does that mean to you?
It's a great question. I mean, I think it means many things. Like, if I look back at 10 years ago, like when I transitioned, I can definitely say that gender relations were in a very different place, you know? Trans was in a very different place. Race was in a different place. Obviously, all these things are consistently changing. So what's been interesting over the last 10 years is to see how that's evolved. And then also to think about, well, what might happen next, especially in a world where so many more people are transitioning, there's so much more gender variance happening, there's a lot more just acceptance, I mean, obviously in some bubbles, but it can't be denied that even my experience just here in Toronto has shifted greatly. So, you know, I think when we talk about the future of gender, at least for me and the gender relations, I think there's something that can be gained from looking at all of that, so we can get into it more.
That's amazing. And, you know, I've also, by the way, I've seen one of your talks and I was really motivated. Like, it's a really motivating talk. And I feel like you're just so in your element when you're talking to children about trans issues. So I've witnessed your talks and I feel actually quite honored to have been a part of that.
And it was so great to see you there. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. And I've also seen you from the very beginning.
Yes, we were pre-transition friends.
We are pre-transition friends.
As we friends. Say. Yeah.
And I don't remember you.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes me either.
Pre-transition, to be honest. I don't see that. Like, I see you, and this is the Luca I've always known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not different for me. And, you know, this is who Luca is.
I appreciate that, too. I mean, 100%, I think as time goes on too, like, sometimes things, they do just take time, but I think as human beings, we're really good at, like, we like to think we remember everything and hold on to a lot of stuff, but we really don't. I think we're really actually a lot better to be in the moment than we give ourselves credit for. And so I think that, you know, with the transition, I like having people that knew me before only because it's great to have people who've seen you, like, that you've known for a really long time. But it's also, you know, really awesome to just kind of be in with where it is. And you as well. I mean, you're really different as well from when I first met you.
Well, you know, it was, thank you. And we met about 13, 14 years ago. And, you know, okay, we're going to get into it because When you stop me on the street, there's this beautiful sense of vulnerability that came from you. I'm not sure if you maybe thought, is this guy going to accept when I'm ready to tell him? I don't know if you remember this.
I don't remember.
And you stopped me when I was walking and you said, hey, Mo. And I was like, what's up? And you were like, so I've decided something. And I thought, well, what is it? Are you getting engaged? Are you going to fly somewhere? I'm transitioning. Like, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, are you going? Like, are you moving somewhere, transitioning? Are you getting a new job? Are you, you're like, no, I've decided to start my physical transition. And I didn't know that you were even considering that.
100%.
You know, so I had no idea. But you had this real beautiful sense of calmness and confidence, and you just always knew that you were waiting for some sort of, like, to be validated by, I don't know, the government or by your counselor, whoever it was, to be like, hey, here's the go.
Yep. And I love hearing that story because I have no memory of it all. It even made me think, wow, it would be so interesting to hear those stories from people, because you almost block it out in a sense, or not block it out, but a lot of time changes and you forget about all those times where you're talking to people about it. But yeah, no, that's really great. And I think it did give me a lot of freedom. 100%. It was a really good decision, a scary decision, but also something that was desperately needed. And wow, are we in a different place with it in general, like the amount of people, because I remember when some things that I do remember when I first came out as trans, a lot of people would say, what is that? Like, they literally didn't even, like, if I said I was trans or transitioning, they're like, what does that mean? So that's one area that I've seen a lot of change. Like, when I say I'm trans, people know what it is, at least. They're like, oh, okay. But sometimes, and this happens less now than it has in the past, but sometimes I'll tell someone I'm trans and they'll ask me when I'm starting. And that took me a little bit to get and understand. It's like, no, it's already happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because, mm-hmm. like, yeah, they, you know, they think I'm transitioning to female.
Right. And so tell me, you say we're in a much different place. Mm-hmm. And so where are we? Like, where are we with that? And mm-hmm. Have we come as far as we think we've come?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, yes, and in other ways, no. I think when it comes to dismantling injustice and hate or any of those things or misunderstandings and prejudice, I think we've only come a small way. Mm-hmm. When it comes to our understanding of transition, trans people, I think their access to different things and their integration into society, for lack of a better word, I think we've come a long way. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think where in the part that's in the short term, like when we think about the prejudice and everything, you know, sometimes there's that term threat du jour. Like, it, you know, I think that there's still, there's discrimination for sure. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's always as directed at trans people as it has been in the past. And it's things like that that make me sometimes look at, you know, certain pockets that are trying to create change. And I ask myself, like, what kind of change, what are the goals? What are we really trying to eradicate here? Because I think that there's still a lot to be done in that department, you know, and how we accept people and the way that we even think about, like, who's savable and who's not and all of those types of things.
Right. And so would you say, okay, so are you, like, you're pretty openly trans.
Definitely,
individual.
Yeah.
Are there times where you think to yourself, I'm fucking tired of this shit? Like, I'm tired of explaining to fucking people that I am trans. Like, I'm just over it. So what is it? Mm-hmm. Number one, yes. So you do get tired of it. Number two, what is it that keeps you going, keep wanting to educate people? What is that, like, fuel that keeps you?
Well, to backtrack on that too, the first 5 years of my transition, I spent stealth, no telling people. And that was my goal the whole time. I was like, I'm going to transition. I'll just tell the people that I have to tell, which is everyone who already knows me. Mm-hmm. And then I won't tell anybody else again. I'm just going to transition, disappear, and just live my life as male, and it won't be a thing. And you know, that happened for about 5 years. Like, I even had girlfriends, their parents didn't know. Like, I'd meet people, I didn't mention it. I had a job, no one knew at my job. And I think that that is kind of what pushed me to come out later, like at the 5 year line, to even out again and say, hey, I'm going to actually put this more a little bit on the forefront and talk to people about it. Like, if you look it up, yes, it says I'm trans, like, right there, right? That was, like, my ultimate nightmare when I first started transition. I was like, I don't want anyone to know about this. But then you start kind of experiencing life and you realize that, you know, being a guy comes with all of this stuff so much more beyond transition. And that experience is something that needs to be discussed. And the only way to, you know, be able to really dive into that is to tell people that you're trans, mm-hmm. at a more active level and engage more in the truth of what that is. And I don't think people can totally be stealth, but I think it's becoming slightly less popular because when you're stealth, all these, you know, you hear all the stuff that people say more often. Like, you hear a lot more anti-trans sentiment, at least 10 years ago, mm-hmm. right? So being stealth wasn't what I really wanted to eventually come out. But that ties in. What was the last part of the question you asked?
Last part of the question was, what is it that gives you the fuel to keep on going and being this activist?
Because when I decided to come out and start talking about it, it was, you know, the truth is everyone I meet, I have to tell. No, I don't have to tell them, but I contemplate telling them. And sometimes it happens really quickly and sometimes it doesn't. And so because you get tired of it and, you know, the passing helps, the fact that I kind of just pass in society means I don't have to tell anybody, right? It's all like kind of a choice on that level. But what keeps me going is just knowing what it was like to have no trans, I suppose, commentary or role models around, especially because I would say I don't fit the model necessarily of what a trans person, or at least the story of a trans person, was in my mind and kind mm-hmm. of what was prescribed to me as, like, this is who you should be and this is how you should think because you're trans, or even because you're a black trans person, or any of those things. So what keeps me going is, like, just my hope that when I, you know, over time, I think we should see different trans people in different places within society. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself, hopefully, is motivational for others as well.
That's amazing. Like, I mean, I really like that perspective. The other question, actually, we're going to be getting into the future of gender relations, of course, because that's partly why, a big part of why we're here. Now, is there a difference in, like, I'm assuming, yes, there is a difference in the way you are treated because now you are physically looking like, you know, you look like a quote unquote male.
Yep.
As opposed to before, you were looking female. Totally. You're presenting female presenting. Yes, so what do you find is the biggest difference?
So there's good parts about it and there's bad parts about it, obviously. Which one do you want me to start with?
I want to hear both. So okay, let's start with the bad parts.
Okay. So the bad parts, I would say, are one, like, I think you never know what you're going to look like when you start transitioning, right? So one bad part I find is that when I started to pass all the time and now I've, like, lived that way for a long time, I really miss, like, being visible sometimes within the community. Like, there's certain things that, like, when you're a female presenting person and you're with a woman and you're together and you're out in the open, people know that you're LGBT. That's part of what, you know, they know that you're LGBT. You don't have to say anything. When I was female presenting but still more masculine, same thing. It was like I could look at a couple and they'd be holding hands. I'd feel community. I'd go to an event and I'd feel like I was supposed to be there. It was very obvious as being always a kind of gender ambiguous sort of person. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, that's been a grief that I've gone through in that sense, like not being able to feel like that really anymore. And being, you know, if you are in a queer space, they're like, who's this guy here? And I think that definitely drove me to come out a lot, because I was like, I had this dream one time, not a literal dream, but just kind of a dream about how great would it be if I could just walk into a room and people knew I was trans. And I never would have thought that before when I wanted to be stealth, but it became more appealing to me as time went on, because it's kind of this really big thing that you wish people sometimes knew about you, so that you weren't just treated like a guy. I hate to use the word normal, but when you are, I guess, and I'd love to hear from your experience too, just being a guy living in the world, but, you know, it's a lot lonelier you know, there's a lot less, you know, I missed a lot of those female things like hugs and touch, the ability to just be together and support each other and talk and call each other up. Like, that's not really in straight masculine culture. It's way more now, but not, like, that's a brand new thing that you can just call up your buddy and be like, I'm feeling this way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that, like, especially again in the straight world, like, it's just very different. So in terms of passing and being male, that's one of the more downsides, I guess, is that you're given all of this idea of what masculine is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's the way that you look or the way that you're supposed to act or being tough or any of those things. So that's one side on the downside, at least for me. One side on the plus side, I would say, is there's also equally the flip side of how awesome that is. Mm. Because when I was visibly LGBT, I feared way more discrimination. I think just by the fear of, not like there people are going to attack me on the street or anything, but you know what it is. It's the subtleties. It's going somewhere and like worrying that people are going to be like, who, you know, weirded out by you or something. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I found my youth was like in my early 20s and stuff. There was a lot more homophobia. Mm-hmm. And there still is, but I think one thing that passing that's is nice that I use the privilege, I guess, just to feel just it is what it is. But dating women, it's like you're invisible. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's good because, you know, I'm just like straight. Mm. You know,
so is that your definition of, like, how would you define yours?
I love that question because it's so complex. Mm-hmm. Like, especially the more you talk to people about sex and the more you are just more people are just more open about the things that A, they like, and B, all those things, you start to realize how nuanced sexuality is in and of itself. Like, for instance, I know lesbians, women couple, who will watch gay porn, two men.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, okay, so if that type of stuff is going on, then obviously this is way more, you know, the whole thing of like what our sexualities are and how those relate to genitalia and how those relate to gender expression and gender identity are clearly very, you know, very diverse combinations. But in terms of myself, you know, at the beginning of transition, people would ask me that all the time. And when I spoke to all those students, not a talk would go by that there wasn't that question. So you're trans, therefore, what's your sexuality? I'm getting there, but I'm just
take your time.
It. So they go, or they don't ask it like that. Like, they'll say, like, you know, so you're trans. Does that mean you like boys or girls? You know, like, you're trans. Like, who do you date? People have a million ways of saying it. And over time, it got really interesting to me because I realized how much people were, like, equating trans to a sexuality. And I think that that's because we call it LGBT. Mm-hmm. But it's like T is not a sexuality. It's a gender identity. We've lumped them together for some whatever reason, but I think it kind of confuses the whole situation. Mm-hmm. Because you can be trans and L, G, or B, right? It's like sexuality is sexuality. And so in terms of myself, like, I do identify as straight. I say that I'm straight, but that's my, like, everyone, I guess, has their, it's part of my, you know, my POV that it's whatever you make it. Mm-hmm. And just because I say that I'm straight, like, I'm a man that dates women, I'll probably end up, you know, marry a woman probably. But I think that, does that mean that I've never been attracted to guys? No. Does that mean I don't even... sometimes I'm like, oh, I'd be so dope to have a boyfriend. Like, I tell my buddies that sometimes. I'm just like, oh, it'd be great to have a boyfriend. Just whatever that, like, idea is in your mind, you know? But but I think, like, you know, but I... Yeah, so I think I... Like, I do say I'm straight, but again, I don't let it limit myself too much.
Yeah. It makes complete sense, you know? Like, it really does. I mean, to lump the LGBT... So the LGB with the T... Because you're right, it's not a sexuality, and it's very hard to dissect that and to get it through to people's brains. You know, we have the hardest thing just describing to people being gay or bisexual, so then you're throwing now a gender identity, and then you're saying, but you can still be this gender identity and identify with any three of those or whatever else.
Yep.
And so... God, there's just so much fucking explaining to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just never fucking
ends.
And
that's why I think, like, we need to just, if we give more freedom to people, and again, this ties into, I think, hopefully where the future stuff is going, is we need to give people more freedom to be in any of those, operate in any of those spaces and along any of those spectrums without feeling the need to label so hard. And that includes inside the LGBT community, you know, because there's the way we make people feel, we think obviously women have a ton of stuff that we've set in society about what they should do and be and all that stuff, and all that exists. But on the flip side of it too, and as well, like, they're not in competition, but in the exact same force, there's the male side of that whole equation, which is almost so suppressed that we don't even really know how bad it is, but it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that are made to feel and be that, again, are they're so ingrained. Like, I was speaking at one of the UT campuses the other day, and someone asked about, you know, it seems like a lot of work, to transition and then be, passing in some kind of ways, because there's all these things that you need to learn about, like how to hold your body and like how to, because I was talking about some of those subtle things, like looking at a guy in the eyes versus a girl in the eyes and all those things you have to learn at the beginning of your transition to, like, quote unquote, fit in. And I was like, it is a lot of work. But what people forget is that if you're not trans, it's you're playing by the exact same rules. It's just they're so second nature to you. You don't even know that they are rules.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, so everyone's doing the same shit.
Because people think that because you're transitioning, and actually somebody did say this, and it might have been on a previous show, that we are not transgendered because we didn't become anything. Yep. We've always been this person.
Yep.
So it's not like I'm practicing to become a man. It's just that I've always been this man anyways.
Like, people sometimes ask, they're like, so are you done? Is it finished? Usually that means that they want to know about bottom surgery.
Yeah.
Which I think is, I'm glad, a conversation that's getting less like mainstream. Obviously with the kids, they'd ask it all the time, and that would trigger me if that was like over time. If I was doing, you know, 4 talks a day for 5 days in a week, it's like by the end of the week, I'm like, I don't want to even go there anymore. Mm. That's one thing that I think when explaining to people. So anyway, I'm glad that that's kind of like not as common a thing. But when people ask, is it done? That's usually what I feel like they mean. But what I try to instill in people is that this isn't necessarily a done thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like you just, like, I'm not doing anything for my transition. I'm just living my life. But we're all changing all the time, you know? And so my relationship to it, is different now than it was 10 years ago, than it will be 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that. And so we've been basically talking about gender relations. Mm-hmm. And I think, right, this is a big part of the topic. What other aspects of gender relations do you think that we should be discussing? Where are we going with, where is the future of gender relations?
Mm-hmm. I think that it is, I honestly think it's not going down the best track. And wow. I think there's things.
Okay. I was not hoping for that answer, but thank you for the answer, because I know there's something coming. You're going to keep us all on the hook now.
Yes, yes.
All right, get ready.
Well, you know, so, but in saying that, all hope is not lost by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that we've seen a real interesting shift in the last few years in terms of how public and open people are to at least discussing the problems in gender relations. That's something we've definitely seen go on in the last few years, right? It's like, this is not working. We don't like this, that, or the other. Both sides are kind of talking about it a lot more openly. So my thing was, if we keep going down that track, I don't think that's productive. I don't think that it's productive to kind of say, to have any of the following conversations. One, who has it the worst?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the oppression Olympics vibe, I just don't think ever goes anywhere good. And I think that one thing we need to do, if we're going to kind of change that path, is to start being a lot more understanding and a lot more finding what we have in common. Because when I was, you know, socialized female, and, you know, you're living your life, you hang out with a lot of girls, you do all this, you know, you have your life. Now that I've been male for the last 10 years, I'm shocked at the amount of similarities there are between what women, like, between what everyone, just human beings, need to feel good, to feel stable, to feel healthy, to feel supported, to feel community, to feel loved, and a lot of that stuff is similar, regardless, straight, gay, any of that stuff. And I think, for as a trans person who kind of felt sometimes that they've had a really hard go at things, you know, with the adoption and the transition and all those things, you know, that we can say have happened in our lives, like getting to a place where I recognize that there's a lot of people, we need a lot of support for everybody. And I think so in terms of the future of where we can relate, more conversations together, more just understanding and listening. And a lot of people think that that's happening and it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of shutting down, especially as a guy, mm-hmm. come the people who say, like, you know, well, who cares? See, and this is what I'm talking about. When you as a guy, and that's why I feel like I can only get away with it as a trans person, but when you as a guy talk about how it's challenging or feeling like you're not heard or listened to, because that does happen, you know, you're basically told to shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, no, these things are happening. Like, people are feeling uncomfortable. They're feeling insecure. You know, they're like, even needing, like, sometimes I see something and it's like, you know, we don't need to carry your this, you know, this opinion of yours, or, you know, don't make us do extra work. Look it up. Look up like, you know, guys do the work. And I think there are guys really doing the work, but we need, obviously, then we need space for everyone to express yeah. themselves, regardless if it upsets you or not. Like, I had one, and then we can jump into this next thing, but I had one situation with someone like a few years ago where I found myself in a very precarious hookup situation that I was super uncomfortable with. And I didn't have like the wherewithal or the skills to feel like I could leave. And she was coming on super strong, and it was just a super uncomfortable situation. I look back and I wonder, okay, why didn't I just dip? And eventually I did leave, but it was just really, you know, uncomfortable or whatever. And I think that we forget that, like, that's happening to everybody. People are finding themselves in situations that are, and I don't just mean about the consent thing, I just mean in general,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so to give everyone kind of space to talk about those things, because when I tell people that story, or when it happened and I told women that story, a lot of them, like, didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were kind of like, oh, well, like, you're bigger, so, or whatever. They make it about some other
thing.
That
you were uncomfortable and then didn't have, like, didn't know how to leave.
That's right. And that was an uncomfortable experience.
Because they thought that automatically, because you're a man, that you would just naturally have the strength to leave, because we always see it as the other way around.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And just things like that. Just those small, like, the longer I've been a guy, the more you realize that you're held to a certain standard and expectation. And again, please chime in, because I'd love to hear from some of your stuff. But it's like, you're held to a certain thing that, you know, isn't the easiest to meet all the time. Emotionally, mentally, physically, physically, financially. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's also true of women also as well. So when it comes to the relations, it's like, where are we hurting each other?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're constantly doing it, because, you know, as different as we all are, you know, we're also all very much like alike. You know, there's a very simple quote by Maya Angelou where she says, we are more alike than we are unalike. And there's mm-hmm. nothing more true than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a gay male, queer male, you know, one of the scary things that people, like, you know, one of the burdens is that people constantly think I'm straight.
Mm-hmm. The straight passing thing.
Straight passing.
Yeah.
And even gay people, like, even queer people are like, oh, you act all straight, or you're being all straight. And I was like, honey, I just had not seen me queen out, you know? Like, that's the problem here. So, but there's always that pressure. And, you know, when straight men are like, straight women are like, oh, you know, they think you're straight. And then when you know, this was happening years ago and it rarely happens anymore. But then you tell them and they're disappointed
that
you're gay. But I just, obviously, I don't care anymore, because it's just like, whatever, that's mm-hmm. your issue. But like, when you're vulnerable as a queer person, you know, you don't really want to disappoint anybody, because you've already disappointed the world. Mm-hmm. You've already disappointed your family. You've disappointed, you know, your mom and dad. You've been kind of just disposed, and like, you're, you know, and now you have to deal with strangers,
mm-hmm.
you know? So
we carry a lot of that around, though, I think, as LGBT people.
Yeah.
You know, part of what I've tried to do with my life is break free from that in some ways and retell a new story and all those things, because I 100% agree. It's like, how do you, there's so much you know, from the past experiences of not being accepted, not being liked, and especially as a young kid who's queer, you know, or wanting, you know, at the time, especially, you get into relationships with people, they don't want it, like, they don't want to tell people that you're together, like, you know, there's a secrecy around it, like, you know, and people care so much about sexuality as a society. That's one thing I think we need to really check ourselves on. Like, people are, when you're in the schools, the grade seven, eights, and we do anonymous questions or whatever, and they're like, you know, I don't know if I'm gay or I'm straight. No, or even I'm bi or I'm straight. And they're like on the brink of like, they're like feeling suicidal. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, one, straight and bi are so close. Like, I mean, I don't even know. It's like, it's not that serious, but the fact that we as a culture feel it's that serious is a serious issue.
That's like a new sexuality on its own. Straight and bi are so close. It's like, you don't even have to tell us you're straight or bi. It's just the same shit.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. No, I agree. I feel like we emphasize so fucking much on sexuality, and, you know, I think that's what this is why I'm doing this. And I feel like that's why you do the work that you do, is that we are trying to now say, yeah, there is difference, but also we are all the same, and we're trying to connect the dots and consolidate everything and be like, we're actually not that different, and our lives are actually not that fucking interesting, mm-hmm. to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that you think in your mind about what trans or gay or what queer or lesbian's all about, it's actually quite fucking boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, honestly, I get sick of my own fucking face sometimes. I'm like, oh, you gay piece of shit. I'm just like, I've had enough of your crap, you know? Like, totally. And so, yeah, like, you know, so this is why I feel like we are doing this type of work. And, you know, something came up for me today, mm-hmm. When I thought about you, because, Luca, these are the kind of thoughts that you
have. Provoke. Let's see what it is.
Okay, so I'm assuming that this is a quote by Nelson Mandela.
Okay,
I've seen it by Marianne Williamson as well, but I'm gonna go with Nelson Mandela, and it says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure." Okay, listen, there's some words in here, God, you guys, so don't get your panties in a twist.
No, I'm a God guy.
Okay.
So it's all good.
Okay, good.
Yep.
And so, but for those who don't, like, don't get your panties in a mm-hmm. twist, okay? You can put whatever word, replace it. God
Universe,
damn it.
Source. Spirit.
So our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are the child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine. As children, we do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. Mm-hmm. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Amazing. I'm so with that, and it's something that I have struggled with in my life, and I really try to practice it at a deeper level. So I really, really resonate, and because there is a lot of fear there. When I went entrepreneurial and, like, I started kind of just changing up a lot of my value system and exploring, like, who I was as a person outside of who I maybe thought I should be and how I was raised or how the whoever thinks it should be, you realize that there's a reason to be afraid of being your full potential. There is a reason, because there's people out there and they really don't want that to happen, whether or not they admit it mm-hmm. to themselves or not. You know, there's... You do sometimes lose people when mm-hmm. you are going after certain things, or just because I think we struggle to, and I could say this of myself as well, like, over, you know, over 5 years ago, I was definitely in a place where if I saw someone doing something that I wanted to do, I was angry and I was jealous and I was, you know, self you know, degrading and all that, you know? And I think that it takes a lot to say, I'm going to support the, you know, and be happy for other people. Mm. But it's a big step in getting the things that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if it can happen without that. So, yeah, it's like then you, yes, you may lose some people, but then you inherently attract other people who are in that same place, who are equally shining.
Yeah. I mean, it is because it's like your own, it's really your, I, you know, it took me a while to really understand this as well, is like your light is mine,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and we share the same light.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, if I won the lottery and I won $56 million and I'm the only one that's happy, like, how does that even matter if the people around me are fucking miserable and I'm not even being of service? Because I feel like, you know, I feel you feel this way as well, I'm sure, is that if I'm not here to change people's lives, you know, in the same way that people have held space for me,
mm-hmm.
then what the hell am I here for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, really, what am I here for?
And yeah, 100%. And people are, you need to give trust enough and give people opportunities also to fight their own egos when they are triggered or jealous or they are feeling those ways or you are operating from a place of expansion, your friend's in a bad mood and they kind of, you know, wish that the misery loves company kind of vibe. But it's like not everyone, you can't all be down at the same time or else you just get into a hole. And also, you know, it gives them an opportunity to reevaluate and to make a different choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's different to hold, and it's different to hold space for people when you're holding your own space.
Oh yeah.
And you know, you're able, like, it's different. Like, this is the week where, you know, I have a special person in my life, and you know, anybody, it could mm-hmm. be my friend, but like going through a really rough time, and I'm able to hold that space for them in such a different way than when I was a disaster and I was a mess, because I'm able to be like, this is not about me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is you trying to, you know, figure your shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be there to challenge you if you're ready for the challenges, and to say, this is actually you carrying old shit, old habits, these survival mechanisms that you think are going to help you when it's time to grow.
Yep.
And so...
Yep.
I was like just thinking about that this week, and I thought, wow, this is really great. I'm really able to hold space for somebody else so that I'm able to do that, because let's face it, I've had so many people in my life hold space for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm so grateful to those people. We're going to wrap this up.
Cool.
Yeah. But one last thing I want to say is, Luca, you currently have your own company called Natural Element.
Mm-hmm.
Can I mention that? And a company which works to create compelling pieces of digital content, educate businesses in today's modern marketing landscape. So that is Natural Element. Do you have a social media platform that you want people to...
Website's good, naturalelement.xyz.
.xyz. Website. Okay, Luca.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And
we're going to have so much more of this, I feel.
Great.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us here at Queer at Heart. And please stay tuned for the next episode. Ciao.